Well, I'd like to welcome Pastor Rick this morning. And come on down. Isn't that what they say on the Price is Right? Come on down.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I've really enjoyed your service this morning. The worship is awesome. I just know that who I'm talking about, who I'm singing about, and who are we just giving praise to, and that's my Lord and Jesus. Amen. So it's just exciting. I'm happy to be here this morning, and I appreciate you allowing me to come. I think it's an honor to be here to minister the word to you. Anytime I can get behind a pulpit, I'm happy, because I feel at home. And I feel blessed that Pastor Robert, your pastor, called me this week and said, it would be an honor for you to come and minister to us. And I said, no, the honor's all mine. And so I just thanked him for the, you know, giving me the thought of coming to minister to you. And I'm happy to be here. And I hope that the message today will give you some insight on what we need to do, what 2015 may bring for us, and how it may change our life. And I know that, how many knows that Jesus is coming soon? Now, you've heard it all your life, and you know, everybody's told you since you're a child, but he's coming soon, amen? I know the signs, and I know the signs of the times and what Jesus told us in the last days, these things shall come to pass. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm not worried about what's going on around us. I'm just excited about what's going to come down on us, amen? Because Jesus has come to rapture us. That's not my message. That's free. You can take that home with you. That's all free for you today, and I'm not going to charge you for that, but I just want to bring you a word today, and I want you to have a blessing to take home. And you know, when we come to church, when we leave, we should not come the way we came, should not be the way we go home. Come on now, say amen. You know, that's true. We should be changed. When we hear the word, it should change us. The word directs us. I mean, I can read the Bible myself, and I read a lot. Believe me, I read, and I study. But, you know, when I go and I listen to other ministers minister, it ministers to me. And I glean from them, and I get things from what they're saying. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. I'm getting a hold of that, and I'm going to use that because that's a good word. That's what God wants. And so today I hope I do that. I give you something that maybe that you haven't seen before. I'm going to be preaching this morning. Are you out on a limb?
Yes.
You're all looking at me like a bunch of frogs on a lily patty. Like, what? What did you say? I'm going to preach this morning about, are you out on a limb? Luke 19th chapter. If you want to go that in your Bibles, go to Luke the 19th through 10. I want you to get an understanding of what God wants us to do and how he wants us to get out on the limb. And I hope after this message that you will maybe feel more at ease. You know, I don't know how many climbs trees in here. Probably nobody. If you've got some hunters, you climb trees. If there's hunters, you get up in a tree stand. But, you know, most people don't climb trees. How many climb trees when they're kids? You like to do, I don't know why. Kids just love to climb trees. I mean, they want to get up there where they can see out and then, you know, get where the birds are and find the nests and look in to see if there's eggs. And anyway, but I do today to get an understanding of God wants us to get out on the limb. Amen? Amen. So I'm gonna read this morning and tell you why God wants us out on that limb. And hopefully after the message, you'll understand more about getting out on the limb. If you want to follow along with me in Luke, the 19th chapter, starting with the first verse, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature." Come on now, just, I know what you're all thinking. Don't mean nothing to God. God's, you know, everybody that's God's servant and his child is 10 foot tall, okay? So when you look at me, say, he's 10 foot tall. Amen? So, all right. So get that all out of your mind right now, all right? All right. "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord Jesus, I come to you today, God, and I know that, God, you know exactly why you went past that tree. Jesus, you knew that before even Zacchaeus would try to find a way to run around the crowd, because of the press, God, he could not see you, but he knew that up the road there was a tree. And there was a limb that he could get out on to see you. And God, you planted that tree right by that road, which the road was not there, but God, you put that tree there when then they put the road that where you knew Zacchaeus to get up in that tree. And God, thank you for looking ahead of all of our circumstances, and you plant a tree. Air doors for us, and you make ways, God, that only you can do. And God, at that point in time, when it's time for us to go to that door, go to that tree, go down that road, wherever we go, that you've already prepared the way for everything that we need. And God, I thank you that day that God, Zacchaeus could get out of that limb and see you, and you could see him. I ask the name of Jesus. Just like Zacchaeus, none of us really ever measure up to God, to the stature and the fullness of what God really wants us to be. Now, we can take some ministers that have come, and they've been in stature, and they've come to a place where they've went above and beyond what other pastors could ever do. And we see that there's some right here in the city of Columbus that have gotten, they've made mega churches. They've built churches up, and they've rose above the other pastors that are struggling to get a few to get just come to their church. So the stature of man is different, because the reason why is because they have allowed themselves to get out on. They've got out on a limb, and they get out there, and they're not go out further on the limb than any other pastor, anybody else. And they've grown to a stature and a different thing that God sees them, and now they're 12 foot tall, 10 foot tall. And they've got out there to where God can use them, and they can see Jesus more than anybody else, because they're out there where they've got a better view of what Jesus needs in their life and what he wants them to do. You hear what I'm saying? You getting what I'm saying this morning? Yes. Amen. Okay. None of us really measure up, but Jesus knows what you need. First of all, we need a relationship with Jesus Christ that is a personal relationship. I know that if you can have acquaintances, but you have a few good friends, and that them people you have a personal relationship with. You know them, and you know what they're doing every day, and you know that when they have a need, that you feel like you have the same need. If they hurt, you hurt. If they've got a problem, you've got a problem. Now, that's a true friend. That's a personal relationship you have with them. Now, acquaintances, you just come by, you meet them. You're not acquainted with them like you would be with a personal relationship, okay? So, I've got to have that relationship with Jesus Christ that, you know, he knows me, I know him. He knows my every need, he knows my every care. I go and I say, God, I know what you want in my life, and now here, I'm going to do what it takes to get to you. I don't know about you, but Jesus said, you've got to get out on the limb today. You've got to go out on that limb to get where I want you, because I need you to come close to me today. And if you don't get out on the limb, you won't see me. I'm going to pass by the limb, the tree, and you know what? You're going to miss me, because you're not going to be out there, and I'm going to go right by you, and you're not going to see me. Jesus wants us to see him every day. He wants us to get and we get a spiritual tree right there, and we say, I'm going to climb out on that limb for you today, Jesus. I can see you, and I can make a difference for you. You come by and you said, Rick Stifler, come out of that tree, because I'm going to go sup with you, and you're going to sup with me today, and we're going to commune. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've got to commune with Jesus Christ. I've got to have that personal relationship. He can know what I need, and when I do, he comes to fulfill my needs. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Zacchaeus, like many of you, first was exposed to Zacchaeus. How many knows when you went to children's church when you were young or whatever, you sang this song about Zacchaeus? Oh, look at the hands go up. You all know that song. That's how I first knew Zacchaeus. I mean, I knew who he was because of a simple song. And it goes, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Come on, sing with me. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, his Savior for to see. And as Jesus passed by, he looked up in the tree. And he said, come on, Zacchaeus, you come down, for today you'll sup with me. See, that's how I learned who Zacchaeus was. And I never had a real true meaning of why he got out on the limb. I just thought, well, he climbed up there so he could see better. He climbed up there, but then I got the real, you know, spiritual aspect of what it really meant. And as I read the Word, God kind of just revealed to me and showed me that, you know what, I needed to plant a tree. And God said, I planted a big tree, a big sycamore tree. And I put it in the spot right where it needed to be because I knew that down the road they would build a road. And they would build that road that went right underneath that big limb that hung out. So I caused the tree to grow a big limb that went out. And it was low where the little stature of a man could get up on that limb and climb out there and sit on my son Jesus Christ to walk by. And that he could see him be there for Jesus to say, come on, Zacchaeus, come on down. And that tree was made there maybe hundreds of years. I don't know how old the sycamore tree was, but it was planted by God way before Zacchaeus even knew that he would climb up in that tree. But see, God knew he would be there. God knew the day, the hour, the minute, the second that Zacchaeus would climb out on that limb. Because his Savior was coming that wasn't really his Savior at the time, but he was just, you know, he was looking for something. So many people come to church, they're looking for something. No, but when the Spirit hits them, they'll run out the back door because they don't want to get too close to the limb. They don't want to go out on a limb. Oh, come on, I'm preaching it tonight. This morning, I'm preaching the Word. I'm telling you down to the nitty-gritty what it's all about. As people, we want Jesus and we want heaven, but we don't want to pay the price and get out on the limb for Jesus because we don't want to get out there because, you know what? It causes us to have to do things that's out of our norm and it's not with our schedule and Jesus, come on, I can't do that today. You know that's not in my schedule. I got an agenda. That's not on my agenda. God says, you better get it on your agenda. And we have to go back to our agenda and we have to erase it. We don't want to erase what we want. We don't want to have to write back in what God wants because, you know what? We got to go a different way. It's going to take our time. I'm not preaching to none of you this morning. I'm preaching to those out there, those out there, those out there, and those out there. Okay? So when you walk out, I don't want you limping out of here because your toes hurt or anything, okay? But we don't want to give time that he wants and he desires from us. His agenda is not like his agenda. Our schedule is so full that we don't have time for, even if God would come down and knock us on the head and say, you know what, come on, you got to schedule me in. Give me a little bit of time today. Come on. I want some time. I want to sup with you. I want you to come out that limb because you got out there, but now you won't do nothing about it. If we don't do something about it, once we get out on the limb, it doesn't matter. We don't need to even climb that tree. You're wasting your time. Okay? Oh, come on now. I want to tell you a story about a guy that he went to the doctor for a check. There was a guy for a physical, and the nurse asked him his weight, and he said, I weigh 150 pounds. She had him step on the scales, and she said, no, you actually weigh 200 pounds. The nurse asked, how tall are you? He said, I'm 6 feet tall. She measured him and she said, you are actually 5 feet tall. She started to take his blood pressure and he said, how can you expect my blood pressure to be normal? Came in here as a tall, slender man and you've already made me short. So, what he thought about himself, about his height and weight, you know, what he wanted to be, she had to tell him, no, that's not right. And sometimes we start getting like Apostle Paul said, We get puffed up. Hello?
Hello?
Puffed up. You know what that is? That's when you start getting your chest out there and you're walking around like, oh yeah, I'm God's man. I'm all that. And you know what, buddy? I'm the apple of his eye. I'm the apple of his eye. You know what? I'm just above everybody else. And I'm a little bit better because I'm his favorite. I'm God's favorite and you're not. So sorry about your luck. We start getting puffed up. And we start getting where we feel like we're different than what actual people see us. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be God's man and I want to be his minister. I want to do, you know, he tells me I want his agenda in my life. I want his schedule. I don't want to make my own to where I don't have time for him and I don't have a place that I would go if he told me to go. I'm just going to say, God, that's not in my schedule. It's not my time. So you might as well forget it. God said, okay. Then all the promises I gave you in my word and everything I told you, you might as well forget it. Oh, ouch. 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 Well, but God, maybe I can give you a minute. Hello? Sound familiar? I just don't have any more time. God said, I gave you 24 hours in a day. I gave you 24 hours and you can give me a minute. Come on now. Oh, okay. All right. When it comes to God's standard, we are all little people spiritually. We're little people spiritually. God looks, says, you know, look how much more you could have done. If you would have, the way I wanted you to grow from the time you got saved, look how tall you would be to me. Look how spiritually tall you would be and spiritually minded you would be if you would have just followed my directions. Amen? You remember when your kids were young and you took them over to the wall or a door came, you put them up against the wall and you made a mark. You put their age and you put a mark and you mark them and that's how tall they were. And then maybe 6 months down the road, you bring your child back over and you take them and you put them back over there and you mark them and say, oh, look, you've grown. Look how much taller you are. They get all excited and they're happy because they're growing. And then a year down the road, you'll take them and you'll put them back against the wall and measure them. They've grown even more. But God said, you know what? I measured you and marked you on my wall when you got saved and I brought you back many times and the mark's still the same. You have not grown. You have not come to a fullness of stature that I want you to be and you have not arrived to where I thought you should be and know you should be and you have not done that and you have not grown because why? You didn't want to. You didn't want to grow in me. You grew in the world and you grew to a stature of man that the man says you should be, but you have not grown to my stature. You have not met up with my standards of where you should be. This is not for you, okay? Come on. It's not for you. Don't get mad at me, please. Don't get mad at me. Over in China, take and they bind their children's feet and they wrap them tight in these bands, pull them tight. They don't want their feet to grow. And they only let them grow as much as they allow and they want to. They let their children's as much as they want it to. I don't know why. Crazy, huh? But they unwrap them when they want them to grow, but they bind them back up. And I've spiritually seen this and God said, you know what? That's just like Satan wanting to bind you up. And he doesn't want me, so what he does, he takes and he wraps and binds you, and he keeps you confined that you cannot grow. And he even comes when we're putting the bandages on ourselves, because we don't want to pay the price so we don't grow in the Lord, so, and we don't grow to the stature he wants us, so we bind our own feet. Our spiritual feet. We bind them up, and the devil comes and he goes, here, let me help you. Hey, I've got some better ones for you. Let me get these. Come on, I've got them right here. I'm going to help you wrap them and bind them up so you don't grow in Jesus. And you don't grow in the Lord because I don't want you to grow, because what happens, you'll tell other people the word. You'll spread. If you grow, it means that you win other for Jesus, and that I'm losing these people. They're not mine no more because you grew spiritually and you took the wrappings off of your spiritual feet, and now you're spreading the gospel, and now these people are not going to come to be with me in hell. And he tries to confine us and keep us wrapped up and bound in the things that we want and what the flesh wants. And the Apostle Paul said, come out from the world, be ye separate, unequal yoke, and non-believers. He said, come out from amongst them. We cannot get in. If you get in dirt, you're going to get dirty. If you get down in water in the mud, you're going to have mud on you. And God says, you've got mud on you. You're dirty because you've wallowed in the mud and the filth of life, and now go clean yourself up. And he said, I don't want you to do it once a week. I don't want you to do it just on the Sabbath day. 7 days a week, because I need you to be holy such as I am holy. I need you to have the Spirit of Jesus Christ and my Spirit of the Holy Spirit in you, that you may minister for me and people who know who you are. He said, my sheep are called to my name. And you know what? You don't take much. You can shake the tree and see if any fruit comes out. My mama always said this. She said, you know what? You can meet somebody and they profess to be what they say they are. But she said, you shake their tree and see what fruit comes out of there. And you will know what they are. It don't take long for them to be revealed. Amen?
Amen.
I know that God has required something of us today to get out on that limb. He required every single one of you. I'm not just speaking to one person. It's all of us. I'm preaching myself, brother. We need to stay out on that spiritual limb, and we need to know when Jesus walks by that we see him, that we don't miss him when he walks underneath our limb and past our tree. When he comes by and we're there, we're anticipating him coming, and we're waiting on a pin, guess what? He comes by and he says, Robert, come out of that tree. Emma, come out of that tree. Rick, come down from that tree. And he wants you to come down from the tree, and he wants you to take your time to sit and sup with him. There's a spiritual thing that we sit and we just sup with Jesus, and we take time for him. We set aside our business and everything that the world says we have to do for the day, and we said, you know what? I'm going to take a time out for Jesus. I'm taking time out for him today. I'm going to let him be my Lord. Amen? And I want him to be my Lord. And I'm just going to take time out. Praise God. Our God's door is facing righteousness. You can go to many doors. I can go and I can find a door of my own. I can open that door up. On the other side of that door may be a lot of disappointments and heartaches. A lot of things that God didn't want in my life. But you know what? I have the choice to open that door. In fact, the devil will even give you keys to doors that he wants you to go through. God said, I didn't give you them keys. I did not give you the key, so don't come back and blame me, because you got the key from Satan and he gave you a key. And you know what? You went over yourself. You put the key in the door. You unlocked it and opened a door that I had locked, kept from you, because on the other side of that door was the things that I did not want you to do. And we opened the door, and you know what? It's total darkness. And we get on the other side of the door because the devil is of darkness. And we walk around in darkness, and we're tripping all over. Our life is a mess because we can't see anything, and we are just stumbling around, and we are in darkness. God said, the doors I gave you were not even locked. The doors I gave you, when you opened the door, it automatically turned on the lights. And when the light came on, you could see everything in that room I had. And I made every provision for you that your life would work the way I want it to work. And everything was already provided. The shelves were loaded with all the spiritual warfare and the things that I wanted to give you. But you didn't want that door. You didn't want that door. You took and you went through the doors I didn't even want you to go through.
Wow.
Uh-oh. As we grow for the Lord, He is measuring us to see how much we are growing for Him. Nobody raise your hands, but how many believes that you're going to grow this year in the Lord or want to grow for this Lord? How many wants to grow for the Lord? Then get out on the limb. Get on that limb. Get out there where Jesus is coming by and He can see you. God's mark is 1,000,000 miles above the highest mark of mankind. His mark is so high and He has set His standards so high that, you know what? Only way we can do it is by the grace of Jesus Christ. By Him going to the cross, shedding of His blood was the only way that we could meet God's mark. We could have never met the mark of the stature of God or even measure up if it was not for Jesus Christ. We need to be thankful every day. And as Apostle Paul said, I go back to the cross every single day and I die back out to my Jesus, the one that saved me from my sin and brought me out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon a solid rock. I don't know about you, but I know my Jesus is a solid rock. That only I can stand on and be sure of what's going on around me. I can be sure when my government says this, when I hear wars and rumors of wars, and I see fightings amongst the people and the nations, when I see earthquakes in diverse places, when I see pestilence and famine and all the things that's going on around me, I can say I'm on the solid rock. I'm on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Nothing can move me. Nothing can do anything to me because I know that God is on my side. And if He be for me, who can be against me? Nothing can be against me. Come on. I'm going to talk to you about David. David wasn't as tall as Saul. Saul stood head and shoulders over every man in the nation. The whole kingdom of Israel said Saul stood head and shoulders. He was a mighty man of war and of valor, and he became king. David's out in the field watching over his... And David had come to just lay out there at night and he would look up into the stars, and David knew who created the stars and the moon. David had come to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with God. And he knew who he was in God. And he knew in whom he trusted. David said, when the lion came and tried to steal one of my sheep, he didn't run from the lion. He didn't try to sneak out and try to kill the lion. Said he ran towards the lion. Jesus said, why are you always running the opposite direction when the devil comes? You need to run towards me because I'm your fortress. I'm your shelter. I'm your strength. I'm your power. And he said, run to me and I will show you what I can do. Here is David. He runs to the lion. He said, I grabbed him by his beard. This is a young boy. Running out, could you go face a lion? Let me ask you, would you be afraid? You'd be running. You'd be trying to climb that sycamore tree. You'd be trying to get away from that lion. David runs out and he said, I snatched him by his beard. And he said, I snapped his jaws and I killed him. He said, I dare you to take one of my sheep. God says, that's what I'll do for you. If he comes to steal one of my sheep, I will come to his aid. And he will fight for you and he will kill the enemy. He said, when the bear came. Well, I've seen a lot of stories about bears killing people and the claws coming out. I mean, one swipe and it could take your head off. He said, I ran towards the bear and he said, I killed the bear. And he said, this Philistine that's over on the other side of that hill, he said, you're all afraid of him? His brothers, Saul even, he wasn't coming out of his tent. The mighty man of war, mighty man of valor, wouldn't come out. He wasn't about to go fight Goliath. Mm-mm. And God's like, you're so tall, Saul. You're tall, Saul. But you're also a coward. And the problem was here was they were not willing to get out on the limb. Even David's brothers and all the mighty warriors of Israel wouldn't go fight the Philistine because they would not get out on the limb. They were not willing to climb up and go out on a limb for him. Amen? You ever heard the old saying? all right, I'm going to take a chance on you, and I'm going to go out on a limb for you. I'm only going to do this one time, and don't let me down. God's saying, go out on a limb for me. I'm going to trust you, go out on a limb. Anyway, David says, God, you know when the bear came, that the Holy Spirit come upon me in your power, and I know, God, that if I go over there, that you're going to just give me victory today. All he had was a slingshot and a rock, and he took rocks for his brothers, which they cowered out. He climbed out on a limb and went over, and they ran away from the limb. They didn't want nothing to do with the limb. They didn't want to get out on a limb, so they didn't go. But David goes down in the brook, and he gets the rocks. He puts them in his pouch, and he keeps one in his sling. And he goes over, and he said, you let this Philistine, this uncircumcised giant, scare you? He said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to slay the giant. Saul said, but you're just a child. Here, put on my armor. Put on my mail, and they put it on him, and David. And it was way too big. He couldn't wear it. Probably couldn't even wait. Anyway, he said, get this off me. I don't need all that. I've got God. So he went across the valley on the limb. And see, that limb spread all the way across there because Jesus was right under the limb. And the limb was out there, and David just ran across that limb just like it was nothing. Went out there, and the Philistine come up and oppose him, and David just, who's afraid of this giant? I'm not. Maybe I could even sleep and do this. Shot that rock, and God said, look, now watch me, David. That rock went, and it hit its mark. God wants to hit the mark of the enemy, whatever it is, and whatever it is. God will always let fly straight to the enemy. Salvation is yours if you let it be. Amen? Amen. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark for the high calling of Jesus Christ. Are you pressing towards the mark today? Are you trying to get to the stature and fullness of what God wants you to be? Are we endeavoring every day to do what God wants instead of what we want? Apostle Paul realized that he was fighting a spiritual battle when he said, if I walk in the flesh, I will do fleshly things. And I realize that I'm fighting a battle with the devil, with the enemy. He said, I know he's present. He said, I feel him and I know him. Every time I turn around, he's always talking in my ear and I know he's there. But he said, if I go and I change and I do spiritual things, then guess what? I get a spiritual aspect. I start doing spiritual things instead of fleshly things. And I'm going to be where God wants me to be from now on. We all fall short of God's standards. In Romans 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say that, you know, we're just saved by grace and that's all it takes. I know that Apostle Paul said, I go back to the cross every day of my life and I renew myself in Jesus Christ so that I can become more powerful in Him. Amen. Jesus Christ, He has a name that is above every other name. The first step in salvation is recognizing our own goodness. We will never measure up. In our own goodness, in our own, you know, Apostle Paul said, you can't get to heaven by works. How many know that? Works will not get you into heaven. That's not going to work for you. Amen? Jesus Christ, He has a name that is above every other name. First step in salvation is recognizing that in our own goodness. I just want to tell you that again. It's our own goodness that we measure up because we have chose to God. How many knows you have a what you're going to do, what you're going to say, where you're going to go. You're your own person. You can do whatever you want. But I know that God still requires of us to measure up to us to go where He wants. Zacchaeus was desperately seeking something. There's people that are seeking something. Most people will, when they have problems, they won't run to the church, they don't run to God, they don't run to Jesus. In fact, they will run completely the opposite way. They will run to the bars. Because I can go in there and sit down and get me a bottle and I can drown all my sorrows. And I can get rid of this problem. But the problem is, the next morning, the problem they had before the coming, the problem they had, it didn't leave. It was wake up with a hangover and they're sick and thrown up and saying, why did I do that? It didn't cure the problem they had the night before because the problem still exists and they have more problems on top of problems. People go to pill bottles and they will take the pill to try to satisfy themselves for a little while and make themselves feel better about their life and feel good. But when the pill wears off, then they find out that the problem didn't go away and they got a bigger problem because now they got addicted to the pill, so they got another problem. People add problems on top of their problems because they won't go to Jesus. They just don't go to the source that they should know that they've been taught and raised in maybe that, you know, Jesus is the answer for all things. Oh, I'm preaching to the people that we know what's going on out there, don't we? It's all out there. Zacchaeus was rich, but he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy. He was looking for something. He didn't know what he was looking for. There was something missing in his life. The details of the story reveal he was a desperate man. He was rich and dignified, yet he ran down the road to try to get in position. We find out always trying to run here and there looking for something. They're always trying to find something, but, you know, they don't run to God because it costs them something. Their lifestyle will have to change, and they'll have to change their way of living, and they don't want to give it up. They don't want to do anything different. Amen? Does that sound familiar? A lot of people you... I know it's not you. It's the people you know. It's people you know, not you. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. Zacchaeus is very rich, but his money could not give him the peace and happiness he was looking for. We find out that money doesn't buy love. It doesn't buy happiness, and it doesn't... Peace only comes from God, which passes all understanding, protects the heart and mind. It will come to cover everything that the devil can throw at you. I want to talk to you a second about Robin Williams. I think everybody in here knows who he was. We perceived him, the world perceived his friends and close relatives as a very happy man. Everywhere he went, he would make people laugh. He could go into so many different characters, and when he got on TV or an interview, he could be that person and be one, and he was so happy. He could make people laugh like nobody else could make them laugh. He could walk into a room, he could fill up a room because everybody wanted to see him and see him because they thought he was this happy guy that was just had all these jokes and he could just make everybody feel good. But see, what people feel on the inside, and they can be smiling on the outside and be miserable and wretched, and they can be so unhappy on the inside. We see people walking every day in the shopping malls and the stores and everywhere we go. They might have a smile on their face, but we don't know all the problems they have because they don't have Jesus Christ. They might be the most unhappy person in this world, and they might be ready to commit suicide because they don't know where to turn to. But I'm going to tell you today that when we walk out on that limb, it tells us we have to be out on a limb every single day for Jesus to tell them about Jesus Christ. And there is a hope. And there is a better life. And there is happiness to be found in this world. It's not all sad. And the outcome of your life will be heaven, and it will be all the things God wants in your life. Amen?
Amen?
He probably didn't even know what he needed. He just knew he desperately needed something. When he heard Jesus was in town, he was hoping Jesus might have his problem. He didn't know, but he was looking for God. He really didn't know. He just didn't know. I hear this man's name is Jesus. I've heard of miracles he's done, and I just want to go get a glimpse of him. A lot of people think that if they were rich, they would have happiness and peace. Everybody thinks that every time they get a clearinghouse sweepstakes check, they're a millionaire. I had to talk to my dad because he gets them all the time. And it always says, Harold Stifler, you have won $1 million. Harold Stifler, you are rich. Harold Stifler, sign this and send your $20 check in and we'll send you your check. And he believes him. And I told him, I said, we call him Pappy. come on now, that's not real. If you want, if it makes you feel better, I'll go back on my computer and I'll print you out 100 of those for you to look at. And I'll put Pappy on there. I'll put your name on them. And I'll give them to you and you can just feel as good about it as you want. You don't even have to even give me the $20 checks. How about that? That's how real they are. A funny thing happened a couple years ago. The computer generated a personal letter to the Bushnell Assembly of God in Tampa, Florida. The church got a letter that said, "Dear God of Bushnell Assembly, God, we have been looking for you. You are a finalist to receive our $11 million sweepstakes. So don't just sit there. God, return your sweepstakes form today." Wow. The Tampa Tribune interviewed the pastor who said he didn't plan on returning the form because he said, "I know God's already $1 million, so he doesn't need it." So people are always looking for that check in the mail. They're always looking for something to come their way, and God said, "You know what? My ways are not your ways. When I give you blessings, it's not going to be all monetary blessings. I gave you health. I've healed you when times come when, you know what, you might have been near death's door, and I've healed you. I've touched your family. I've touched you when you're driving down the road, and you didn't even know, but there was a car coming your way, and it would have sliced you in half, but you know what, I sent my angel and said, protect them and keep them from harm." God said, "You don't know the times I've taken care of you in the middle of the night when somebody could have robbed you and broke into your house and brought harm, but I stopped them outside your door. You didn't even know they were there. Times when God said of so many things I've done to you through your life that you better recognize, you don't know, but I have kept my hand on you. I have put a hedge about you and your family and taken care of you because you're faithful." Think about it. So, that check all the time. Come on. People there are looking for something. They are looking for God, but they call it happiness or purpose. They look for it in money and human relationships or in a career. When those things don't really satisfy, they may get out on a limb and start looking for it in extreme living, which includes drugs, alcohol, sex, or anything that gives them a brief high. The old song says, looking for love in all the wrong places. If you're looking for love and you want to have a love affair, you go with Jesus. You go to where Jesus is, and Jesus wants you to have a personal relationship that He will love you. Every morning you will feel Him wrap His arms around you and tell you, "My child, you know how much I went to the cross for you. I endured all the suffering and the pain of the cross. I went to the whipping post for you to have your healing. I took 39 stripes upon my back of the cat and nine tails. I allowed them to rip the flesh out of my back with every stripe that it hit. And I did that for you. I allowed them to take me and nail me to a cross and put the nails in my hands and my feet. And I allowed them to put a spear in my side. I allowed them to crucify me that my blood may come as a sacrificial lamb for all your needs and for you and for how easy it is for you to just call upon my name and be saved. How much could I do for you, my child? What more could I do for you to show you how much I love you? I sent my son, my only begotten son, and I allowed him and I had to watch him hang on a cross. I had to watch all the things they did to him and stand over heaven and look down and see my son pain and agony. Don't you ever tell me I haven't done nothing for you. Don't you ever tell me I haven't answered your prayer, because that was enough right there that I sent my son that I should never have to do no more for you, because I know if you get saved and you come to me that you're coming into my heaven. Don't be telling me what I got to do for you all the time. John F. Kennedy said this: don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And I'll turn around and say, don't ask God what He can do for you, but what you can do for God. So many times we're always demanding of God and asking God instead of saying, God, thank you for today. Thank you for another day, for allowing me to breathe another day and be on planet Earth. Thank you for you being my God and me being your child. Thank you for everything you've done. You know, we always wake up asking for something most of the time. Are you like Zacchaeus? Are you desperately looking for something and you don't even know what it is? Jesus is here today and he can give you life and life everlasting. Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek, save that which was lost." I'm about you, but I realize and I recognize that Zacchaeus, God knew the very minute, the day, the hour, and the second that Zacchaeus would be sitting out on that limb. God had ordained that from the time that Zacchaeus was in his mother's womb. He knew all that was going to take place. Already going to happen. That's why he grew the tree. Put the limb out of the road. He put the road there. He had Jesus come through Jericho, out of his way, getting ready to go to the cross in another week. But he sent him through Jericho because there was a man named Zacchaeus that needed to know him. There was a little man, a stature, small stature, a tax collector that everybody hated and didn't like. And when he went to come to knocking on their door, they knew that, you know, there's that Zacchaeus. He's here to get our money. He's here to take our money away from us. How many likes IRS? Don't you just love them? IRS is just awesome. They tax your income. Tax you every time you go buy something. They get your money and you just love them. Amen. I want to tell you that Zacchaeus was not a well-liked man in his town. Matter of fact, he was hated by the people. He was shunned by them. He was on the street and they would go, "There's that Zacchaeus, get away from him. He's a tax collector, he cheats people, he takes your money, and what do you do with him?" But see, God knew the day and the hour his climb out. He knew that his son Jesus would be walking by. In fact, Jesus knew he was there. When the crowd was so great that Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus, couldn't get a glimpse, that he ran. And he ran towards the tree to climb up in the tree, to get out on the limb, just get a glimpse of Jesus, not knowing that Jesus was going to call him by name. Jesus got under the tree and he knew he didn't have to wear a name tag and say, "God, it's Rick. Look, there's my name tag, God. See, it's me." God knew me before I was even me. God knew you before you was even you. And he knew what you would do through your life, and he knows what you're not going to do. That's why the word told us, it says that he would not put a burden on you which you cannot bear. So God knows what you will bear and what you will not. He knows how far you'll go for him and what you'll do. He knows if you will climb out on a limb, and he knows if you won't. Come on. When we finally get a glimpse of Jesus because we climbed out on a limb and now we see Jesus, I'm sure Zacchaeus anticipating and he's watching the crowd and he can't see and he's looking. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Where's he at? Finally, Jesus, the crowd comes and it separates and there's Jesus. Jesus looks up and he says, "Zacchaeus, you come down. I'll sup with you." Zacchaeus, he probably fell off the limb. "Jesus spoke to me and he knew my name. You know my name, Jesus. How did you know?" "Because I am the Son of David. I am the Lord. I am the Christ. And I know all things. And I know you, Zacchaeus. And I know your heart. And today you're going to get saved. And I knew this 1,000 years ago." God said, "I knew it 1,000,000 years ago, 10,000,000 years ago. I knew there would be a man named Zacchaeus out on a limb. And he's going to get saved." Amen? Amen. He came to seek and save all the Zacchaeus like you and me. Jesus came on the greatest search and rescue mission in history to save souls. To seek that was lost and to save them. Jesus on the way to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. He would be arrested and crucified just a few days after he visited Jericho. But on his way to the cross, he stopped in Jericho to seek out a short tax collector named Zacchaeus. Why? Because he was desperately seeking God. He's seeking you too today. See, Zacchaeus was actually seeking God, didn't know how to find him. And Jesus went by to tell him how to find God. The way Jesus related to Zacchaeus is the same way he wants to relate to you. He wants to do that today. The first word Zacchaeus, he called him by his name. He said, "Zacchaeus." You don't have to wear that name tag all the time. Isaiah 43:1 says, "But now, This is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. See, God fights your battles for you. God will fight your battles, and there's times when Israel went to battle. And they come up against the Philistines, mighty men of war, men trained in their youth to fight. And God would tell Joshua, Caleb, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't move off that hill. You line your army up. And I don't want you to move, do nothing. Because you just watch what I do, Joshua. The Israelites would stand on the side of the hill. Philistines would be in the valley. They'd be ready with their big shields and their swords and giant stature of men. And to be waiting to fight the Israelites came off the hill. All of a sudden, here's what God did. He caused a great sound to come as the Israelites were charging. He blinded the Philistines. Philistines hear them coming, which they're still, they're not moving. They're obeying God. Come on now, get a picture. They're obeying God. They're not moving because God's getting ready to do something. They don't have to do anything. Too many times we always want to run into battle when we're not supposed to. We want to run towards the enemy. We're not supposed to. And God said, what'd I tell you? I told you to stand still. You getting what I'm saying? Sometimes we just need to stand still and see what God does. Let Him go to battle for us. The battle's not yours. The Philistines hear the sound. It sounds like they're coming. God blinds their eyes. They take their swords and they start swinging in the air because they think the Israelites are all around them. And guess what they're doing? They're killing each other. They are slashing each other to pieces and killing each other because God says, see what I can do. The Israelites didn't even have to fight them, didn't have to even go to battle. God told them, don't stand there. Sometimes God's telling us, you know what? Stand still and see what I can do and just let me do it. Don't go running into battle every time you feel like it. You're gonna come out beaten and you're not going to get the victory. Amen? John 3:17. For God sent His Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. He didn't send Jesus Christ to condemn. He did not condemn Zacchaeus for what he was doing. He was robbing the people. He was taking too much tax money. He was robbing them. He was stealing from the people. Don't you think that God knew his life and what he was doing and why people hated him and why he was a sinner? Jesus knew that, but yet when he got to the tree, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Then all around, Pharisees, all always trying to criticize Christians, said, oh, he's talking to a sinner. Oh, he said he's going to go eat with him. We don't have no dealings with sinners. We don't have publicans. We're not supposed to even go to their house or have no dealings with them. He's going to go eat with him. See, people always try to say things and try to discredit, but Jesus said, today y'all sup with you. He didn't care about outside of his realm what was happening because he knew what was happening on the inside. Don't ever get discouraged about people on the outside and what they're saying, because when you're inside with Jesus, he's got a hedge about you anyway to where nobody can penetrate and get you. Amen? Instead of condemning Zacchaeus, he said, let's go to your house. At that point, the religious crowd turned against Jesus and criticized him for spending time with a sinner like Zacchaeus. He sees you not as you are. He sees you as who you can become. That's why we never condemn anybody. We never do that. It's not our place to judge, because the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. But see, God sees who people are, and then he sees who they're going to become. And the person they might become might be greater than we ever thought we could do, because they might go out on a limb when we won't do it. They might get saved and go out on a limb further than with God than we've ever even thought of doing in our whole life. And they might be mightier in God, and they might be the greatest evangelist, the preacher, the teacher, the whatever God needs them to be, that they'll be, because they'll go out on a limb. And we won't. So we never, never judge anybody and say, oh, look at them, they should go to hell. It's not our place, first of all, to judge them, condemn them, and send them to hell, because that's God's job. God knows who they are and who they're going to become. We can see the vilest, maybe drug addict or sinner, or whatever. You can name the vilest person you know and see them and say, they're going to hell. No, how do you know that? How do you know that God's not going to save them down the road and get them up on a limb where he can talk to them and invite them to come and sup with him? And they might become a better Christian than you are. Amen. Come on now. It's true. Are you willing to be a tree to lift people up? Jesus. You have to be that tree. Sometimes we've got to allow them to climb out on the limb that we know that they're going to be able to see Jesus. So free for them. We'll be the tree, and that we'll have the limbs growing out where they can climb out on the limb and they can grow because we've helped them. And we've helped mature them into what they can get out there to see Jesus. Sometimes we got to become the tree to let on the limb. Years ago, when God created the sycamore tree, he purposed and planned for Zacchaeus to climb the tree. I'm closing. You're probably saying, thank you, God. I've been praying. God does answer prayer. I've been praying, he'd close. And he said it. Sometimes we have to know that God plants the tree. God puts it there years and years and years before you're going to arrive there. Things down the road for us, and we got to realize when we get there, God, only you could do this. God, it's only by you and what you did that this could happen this way. And we have to recognize that. So many times we'll miss God if we don't get the spiritual aspect of it. If we don't get in a spiritual realm and stay with him, then we'll miss all the things he's trying to do in our life. I mean, God might be sending you someplace, but are we willing to go where he sends us? He's maybe wanting to put us in a place and change our direction, but we won't let him. He wants us to mature and grow in him, and he wants us to get taller and taller in stature for him, but we won't let him. We've allowed ourselves to be bound up, like I was telling you, and we won't grow. I would give you this today that God's saying, take the bindings off. Unloose, wrap them bindings and let me let you grow. Grow in me and let me show you my direction. And I will come and sup with you today. And I will be your God. And you will be my people. Amen? His servant today. How many wants to get out on that limb? About this week, as we go through the week, that God wants you to get out on a limb for him. And he wants you to grow. He wants you to mature in him. He doesn't want you to stay the same old, same old. You know that you can take water, and what happens when a beaver will come and you can have water, you can have it flowing, and it'll be coming in and going out. And a beaver will come and it'll build up a dam. And it'll block the water from flowing and stop it from flowing. Once that water was really clean and clear, nothing growing on it, now all of a sudden it gets stagnant. It gets stale. It starts getting moss growing on it. And the devil has come to build a dam between you and God. The devil has come to build a barrier between you and God. And now you're getting stagnant because now there's a barrier. Things are not flowing through you and with you the way it used to. And now the dam is keeping the water from flowing freely. And you're getting stagnant and stale. What I would say is, you know what? Proclaim Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, remove the dam. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to move that dam. Get it out of my life that the water may flow freely through me, and I will be that flowing water like I used to be. Amen?
Amen.
Let God work in your life. Let him do all the things that he wants to do. He wants to take you to a level. How many know there's higher heights and higher levels with God? If you're staying on the first level when you got saved and stay on that same level, God wants. That's not what God intended. There are higher heights and higher levels for us to go up that. We can go up that ladder. We can go up as high as we want to go with God, and God says, you know what? I don't have a restriction on how you can go with me. My disciples decided they were going to go higher and higher, and I just let them keep soaring. Look at Peter. Look at Peter. Jesus had to tell him, Matthew 16, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but he said, I have prayed for you. When thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. And he said, Lord, Lord, I'm with you. I'll never leave you, Lord. I'll never go. Then we see Peter down the road. He's cussing. He runs and hides. He curses. Does everything. But see, God knew a way of bringing him and taking him where he knew he would be down the road and put him where he wanted him to get him to where he had power. If you want that power today, then we need to climb out on a limb and get where Jesus is, that we can always see him passing by. Amen? I'm going to close at that. I want to just let you know today that God is for you. And if God be for you, no one can be against you. Amen? Just climb out on that limb and let God do his work in you. Amen? Thank you so much for allowing me to come to minister to you today. And hopefully you want me back next Saturday for Sabbath. I'm coming back next Saturday. And I hope you, and I pray that God will give me a message for you. And I pray about my messages. I have stacks of messages, but I don't want those. I want God to give me a fresh message. And God laid this on my heart for you guys today. So I don't know why, but like I said, it's actually not for you. It's for all them out there. So anyway, but take that home with you, and hopefully you glean something from that today. And just God bless you today, and I truly love you, and I appreciate you allowing me to come this morning to minister to you. God bless you.